Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
It's 101.9 Hi FM. The CSO is running a charity campaign, and we thought we would check in with the Director of Operations at the CSO, Javon Greenblatt. Javon, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Howard. I'm very good, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, excellent, thank you. So, first of all the best for today. When does the charity campaign kick off?
So, the charity campaign's kicking off in about half an hour or so.
Cool.
And, and it's running over the next 48 hours. So, brilliant. Over the next 48 hours, the website will be open. And during the day, from approximately 9 o'clock every single day to about 6 or 7 o'clock, the lines will be open as
okay,
well.
Okay, fantastic. So let's start right at the beginning. We all know CSO because we know in theory what they do kind of for us. We see them at Shul's when we used to go to Shul's. Maybe a good point of departure is to actually understand what the CSO is as an organization.
So Howard, the CSO is not only just an organization, but it's almost a way of life for the Jewish community. We're responsible in principle for protecting Jewish life and Jewish way of life being just as important. And our mandate really is to empower the Jewish community to protect itself. So yes, we get seen at shuls and schools, and that's really what people see of us. But there's so much more that is done by the organization. We have a team that looks for missing people. We find probably about 20 missing people a year. We have a response team that responds to anything from, God forbid, a serious incident, all the way through to just suspicious activity outside a kosher shop or a facility somewhere in Johannesburg. These guys get up and drop everything and rush off and check that it is okay. And if it's not okay, they deal with it appropriately. We have patrol vehicles that travel, at high-risk times over Chagim and over Shabbos. We protect, the parks where kids are gathering now during COVID. We have teams that are kind of positioned there and looking after those children. And it just goes on and on and on. There's so much more. And then the other side of things is just the family that the CSO is. People from diverse backgrounds who join for different reasons, different age groups, men and women, that really in the end come to understand how important it is that we're proactive, that we're not victims of circumstances and what's happening around us, and we take control over our environment and we protect our own.
So one of the things that clearly is happening all around us is that government resources are particularly stretched. We know that government is under pressure. There's not a lot of money for security, for community security. We see other parts of the world where a significant amount of resources are allocated to the protection of religion and things like that. The CSO has really had to step in where government effectively stepped out.
So look, there are major constraints with the South African police services, and they have their hands full with a lot of other things. We do have a relationship and we do work very closely with them where we can. But in the end, I think we learned it very quickly in South Africa because of our circumstances that every community needs to take responsibility for the security, for the safety, for the health of their own community. And these are just realities of life in South Africa. Having said that, it's not unique to our country. And even though there's a lot made of the police forces outside schools in Europe and, you know, the support given by government in the United States, the nature of the threat and the way that it is decentralized, maybe in the 70s and 80s, maybe even in the 90s, that was true. But it's no longer relevant. It is now very, very important that every community, wherever they are in the world, whether it's, the United States or the UK or South Africa, that they have to take responsibility for their own security. And that's true for every individual as well. It's not, when I mentioned it at the beginning, I said that we will empower the community to protect itself. because yes, we send people out to look after certain events and we have amazing volunteers that step up and look after others. But in the end, we can't do it without the community looking after their own children, their own family as well. So it's really a partnership between us and the community.
And I've seen many cases of people that have become involved in CSO really, really, it bettered them and it helped them just as much as they then went on to help the community. So it's actually an incredible, there's an incredible give and take and flow of people through the community that eventually land up giving back as well.
Absolutely. I think they say that the best way to receive is to give. And I think most of our volunteers quickly come to realize, especially after they go through our courses, and they feel so personally empowered as well as community empowered. But really, I think they recognize that the best way for them to kind of feel good and have a purpose in life is to give to others and give back to the community. And there's no better way to do that than getting involved in an organization like the CSO, where you get nothing back from it. And maybe you do actually. You get training, you get a companionship, you get a family, but at the same time, you give so much more than you get. Yet it is so empowering and so rewarding. And not a single person that does this feels any other way.
So obviously you're going out to community and you're going out to people to ask them to assist financially. Take us through what funds are used for, what CSO is responsible for. We've been through a stage in community that it's got a bit confusing as to where the CSO sat in terms of funding or community fund allocation. Can you give us a clear overview as to what funding is used for.
So funding is used for many things. I think predominantly in the main focus of our funding is number one to environment in which we live in. To ensure that we know where the threats are and we understand what we need to do and how we need to prepare to mitigate those threats. We have a 24-hour control room. So that runs 24/7, 365, always manned, and always ready to receive emergency calls and help with the community. Then we have an absolutely massive training budget. That's, you know, really what this organization is about. Yes, it's about putting manpower out there, but we're not a normal security company. What we do is empower the community once again. So a large portion of our budget goes into training the community, training our volunteers, ensuring that they are skilled with new courses as well as ongoing training to stand shift and to protect. Then we have a team of professional staff, and those professional staff obviously earn salaries, and they operate, they work from Biachad, and every single day they are managing, dealing with, convincing those that aren't so convinced of the need of security, of the need, and working to manage the whole system. So although this is a volunteer organization, it is very much kind of run on a day-to-day basis by the professional staff. And then equipment, you know, as I say, we have our vehicles, our patrol vehicles, all the equipment that we need to send out to protect functions and events and shuls and schools, and in emergencies as well. God forbid there's a massive emergency or a mass casualty type event, then we have all the equipment necessary to manage that and deal with it, both from a security point of view and a crisis management point of view. So that in the end comes to probably about 20 million, no, not probably, it comes to what we need to raise is 20 million a year. Thank God for the meantime, and long may it continue. We stay in Biachad, where our offices and our training facilities are. We stay there rent free. And if that continues into the future, we still, however, need to raise 20 million a year to run this organization. And it's a fraction of what a company, if we charged for our services, it would be an absolute fraction
Is that a possibility?
Or what that would cost.
Is that a possibility? Sorry? Is that a possibility? I often think of the guys and see the guys standing outside, maybe functions or standing outside shuls, and I always wonder if the cost is being covered. I mean, I know it's a very difficult one because you try and balance it. If someone says, "Well, I can't afford it," well, then what are you going to do? Not give them security? You know, it's this mixed responsibility aspect. But shouldn't you be charging? Shouldn't organizations be paying?
So the truth is that they should be paying what they can afford to pay. And many can afford to pay and choose not to. And strangely enough, many can't afford to pay yet give a beautiful token donation at the end of the event just to say thank you. And that's the I suppose the dichotomy over there is, you know, we do send out of this is the cost of what this event, you know, cost us to run and the cost of the volunteers.
Mm-hmm.
But we do make it a voluntary thing. You don't have to pay and we will protect no matter what. And that for me is like a personal, you know, a personal thing of mine that we will never turn someone down because they cannot afford to. We're an organization that protects our community no matter what.
No matter what. Absolutely.
Having said that, you see the protectors outside schools on a weekday morning or throughout the days. Some of them are parent volunteers, but some of them are actually employed security officers. And many, well, all of the schools that employ those people. So there is a division of our organization when we send those security officers to protect the schools and some of the shuls, they actually do pay for that service. But it's a non-profit cost. So really it is the cost of the actual service, nothing more.
Right. So as we wrap up, how do we participate in this charity event? How do we get hold? As you say, it opens in around about 14 minutes. How do we go about making a donation?
So first and foremost, you can go to the charity website. So that's charity.com/CSOJHB. So again, www.charity.com/CSOJHB. If people feel more comfortable or want to speak to someone, they can phone our call center on 011-551-1200. So sorry, 011-551-1200. And then they can also follow us on our Facebook page, which is CSO Johannesburg. They can just go there and they can follow us there as well.
Absolutely awesome. And good luck for the next 48 hours. I hope that people give as generously as they are able to give. It's an incredibly important organization, the CSO. I can't imagine where our community would be without them. It is absolutely unbelievable, the work that you do. So best of luck with that. It is 8:48. I'm Howard Feldman. This is your Morning Mayhem on 101.9 High FM.
High FM, your station of choice since 2008.